Militant minded, general nine grip, the grip with blades and a pen that can sharpen your spine's tip. Level headed, though my mind flips from side to side. With an acrobat's experience, after I stick it, I'm livered down a demon possessed. Seems Jay's the best for the job with no.
What's the word, y'all? It's KTR_podcast, No The Rose Podcast. You are now live and direct with your boys, Cinco, Big Whore, and J-Bo himself for episode 18 of No The Ropes Podcast. How y'all doing today, my brothers?
I'm good, man. How about y'all?
I'm actually awake today. My butt, you know, got some energy, so.
We see you, man. We are good. We are alive. We are blessed. And before we get started into this episode, before we dive into this episode, we have, there's a lot going on. But before we get into it, we're going to need y'all to do something for us. Please, go follow us on all social media platforms, KTR_podcast, Twitter and Instagram, Know The Rose Podcast, Facebook and YouTube, Know The Rose Podcast on all podcast platforms, Google Podcast, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcast, Podbean. We are on everything. We are in 2021. New things, new beginnings, new challenges, new leaders. You know, I had to slip that in there real quick. It's a bunch of new stuff going on. You know, 2020, it was hell. It was a lot going on. But that is in the past. But speaking of the past, man, somebody on Twitter brought up a hell of a pass with the WWE. Oh my God. So down to today, going to the wrestling community, to wrestling Twitter, actually to be specific. A person by the name of Fraud Activity _ on Twitter, that's his username, made a tweet. That I wasn't he probably wasn't sure, or he or she, or I don't know who this person is. This person probably wasn't sure this was gonna blow up like this, but man. It brought back so many memories. So this person said, and I quote, "Bro, the WWE was getting away with a lot of wild shit on national television." And that tweet blew the fuck up. My God. I forgot how much stuff went down back in the WWE in the early and mid 2000s. Shoot, before then, it was... Yeah. Wild, them all the clips I saw, all the oh my God, like it's like it was literally like watching Family Guy. this is the wrestling version of Family Guy. That's what WWE was back in the day. But I shared the tweet with y'all so y'all could see it, and I shared it again the next day when it blew up even more. So what did y'all think about that? How did y'all feel about that tweet, that post, and how WWE was back in the day? Just go off.
I told you, ironically, the day before you sent that, or the day of, actually, I posted a video on Facebook of a lot of inappropriateness from the past of WWE. So I had just really been refreshed on a lot of those moments before they got posted. But it's crazy how much they used to get away with on national live television. Right. Like live TV. You know what I'm saying? No editing. No, nothing. You couldn't bleep nothing. It was just right there in your face. And it then in the past, what
was it, rated 14 for people 14 years of age?
Yeah.
Raise that rating up.
They say it's more kid friendly now, but back then that was when we was kids.
Yeah, right.
It's always, regardless of if it's kid friendly more now or in the past, it was always geared more towards children. They're like real life superheroes type stuff. So as children, you know, that's what we were watching. So it's really crazy to see what we grew up on versus what they're growing up on now.
Man, more than half that stuff that they did, that if they were to try to come out with now, it would not have flown. They would have been fined. They would have been shut down. Anything you named it, they would have been hit with. Yeah, there was a lot of different memories on there that, you know, they got away with, especially with kids watching the show. I mean, we can sit here and name all kind of things, but just name a few. I remember Choppy Choppy Pee Pee. And man, I remember when they did that. Man,
they had them strung up.
But it was just a normal thing. And like that was just a part of the group that led up in the storyline. It was really messed up. And I remember another moment I saw in there where Vince McMahon wrestled God.
Oh my
God. And that like lasted for like weeks into a pay-per-view tag team match.
Yeah, and then he had a tag team. Yeah, we brought that up a couple episodes ago.
And he beat him.
He beat him, man. He beat God. Vince is the man.
Shoot,
well, I mean, and you about the choppy choppy pee-pee made me think about anything involving the Godfather, man. He used to have challenges. I remember one girl he had. It was something. It wasn't even Godfather. It was the I forget dude's name, but he was like a middle. He had a Middle Eastern gimmick, and he was like some royal Middle Eastern dude. He called people out, and then like. Try to you know, get them to do stuff and offer money and then screw them over at the end. And Godfather came in and called some girl out the crowd and she deep throated like this fat ass sausage. And then he had to pay the girl the money and then he was mad to find out she was one of Godfather's hoes. Like live on TV, they revealed this girl was a hoe and had it out. Like it was, dog, so many moments. So many moments as children we should not have been subjected to. It's hilarious.
A lot, like when Jay was mentioned that thing with Vince McMahon versus God, that was probably like one of the most wildest.
I couldn't believe they let that go. I couldn't believe they
right. I was like, you know, everybody has their own beliefs, you know, and everything. See, I'm Christian, so when I saw that, I was like, oh, he had this segment in church. He said, "Strike me down," like. Shane looking at him like, boy, I read the Bible. I don't know what you're talking about.
it was hard. And you know, Shawn Michaels, you know, he's a heavy believer. So him being in that
right.
Shoot, I know that had to be hard in some way, you know, for him to do that story.
Right. Like Vince was a wild stuff. He had that. The chairman, he had that. He said the N-word on
pay-per-view,
he still said the N-word in front of a black man, so that's another thing.
He went straight up to John Cena right during his rise as WWE champion.
I will never forgive Booker
and he said,
for
keep it up. And Booker T was literally right there.
Keep it up.
And his no wife. Backlash, with the walls. No internet attacks, no nothing. It just kept going.
Terrible. That was so terrible, man.
Yeah, it was the racism in there. I remember with the whole thing with JBL and
gosh, JBL caught hella heat during his gimmick, especially with Eddie Guerrero from the Latin American community. God, he got heavy, but he kept going.
JBL didn't care, man. He didn't care at all. He took he took that JBL gimmick to the highest point he could.
He let his beliefs show.
It's a shame that how offensive he was is why he was so captivating. But it's also a shame that he only got that one run with the belt, man, because he was a heel. He really
he was a top
he
tier.
Was. He was a heel,
dude. He really was.
Oh man.
And look at that. That just ranged from what we started in the 90s. That was like 05 with JBL. Mm-hmm. So as we covered all this crazy stuff, like they had girls, they was flashing. I remember Sable was had her titties out. I remember who was it? What's Jacqueline? Jacqueline had it. They had girls flashing in the crowd on live.
I thought Jacqueline was by accident.
It was. It was. It was on live TV.
It was, but it was on live TV.
What was the king? The king's wife, the cat. She was gonna have a bra and panties match or something, and she's like, "I don't wear panties." Like it's live. I was like, "Oh my god!" so many memories.
All right.
I wonder why we're perverted young men now.
All right, before we get lost on this subject, real quick before we transition to the next topic.
Rolling around, bra and panties, barking like a dog.
Okay. All right.
No. Let's go. The king alone has enough inappropriate moments to last a lifetime. Hey, King Lawler, dog.
All right.
Sorry, man.
Good subject, man. You brought it up.
So with that being said, all right, quick question. With that, with all that being said, thrown out there and everything, do you think that the wrestlers back in the day in that era would be able, would be successful or survive in this new era today?
Heck no. Heck no.
Not with those gimmicks, no.
No. Mm-mm. Different time, different audience, different fan base. Mm-hmm. It would not survive.
The gimmicks wouldn't survive. I feel like some of the wrestlers might actually be able to tweak some of the stuff they did or adjust the gimmick just enough to pass now. But if it was like flat out take that moment and put it current, hell no.
No.
Mm-mm. They'd be off air. And then like we keep seeing articles and reports of Fox wanting more edgy content. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been saying that for a few months. Mm-hmm. And we're still getting the same stuff, I feel like.
Cool. All right, well, you got something to say, Jabo?
No. Okay. It pretty much same thing Harv said. It just would not fly. What do you call it nowadays? The unfollow community, the unjust community, where people just unfollow people based on just...
cancel culture.
The cancel culture. With cancel culture, it just would not survive. Nothing. Well, I wouldn't say nothing, but more than half the stuff that took place back during the tweet that was brought up, it would not survive in this day and age.
Cool. So while we're on the topic of things that happened with the past, we're going to talk about wrestling from the past, who pretty much had a successful career and made it out through that old era, The Undertaker. The previously retired, quote-unquote retired, Undertaker. Thank you, Taker, all that. He had an interview this recent times with, Joe Rogan, that's his name? Joe Rogan. And in the interview, he had a couple choice words he made that kind of rub the wrestling world the wrong way. Well, with the new school people, I should say. And we're going to check on that real quick. And the quote was, people are like, just comparing the eras like back then to now. So he said, in the era of guys to those were men, talking about his era, you go into a dressing room nowadays and it's a lot different. I remember walking to my first real dressing room and all I saw were some crusty effing men. Half of them had guns and knives in their bags. Shit got handled back then. Now you walk in, there's guys playing video games and fucking making sure they look pretty. It's evolution, I guess. I don't know what it is, but I just like those eras, man. I liked when men were men. So, obviously times are different from back then to now. You know, everybody can't be crusty. Like I like to use lotion. I don't know about them, but yeah. But,
what the hell?
I like to keep myself clean. So I
get it.
Right. I get pedicures and manicures and everything like that. I put on deodorant. Yeah. I make sure I look cute. No homo. Yeah,
but... My God.
This guy's a clown.
But anyway, I don't want to be rough. I'm sorry, but yeah, but I'm gonna start with Big Hard because I know how he got that old school vibe, and I want to see his perception on it real quick before we dive into ours. So Big Hard, I'm gonna kick it off to you real quick. How you feel about that?
Being the residential old crusty man who doesn't get his nails and feet done, but does wear deodorant because that's just hygiene. I feel like he worded it very deliberately. Like he complained and then he just dialed back and was like, it is what it is, you know, because it really is. It is what it's like. In our chats, we talk a lot about a lot of different things, usually just wrestling and then also hip hop and how much I hate, but tolerate the new wave of hip hop. It's kind of like what he's saying with the wrestling business. Like, you know, it's not what it once was. It's not as pure, I think, is what he's trying to say when he says when men are men, they're not as serious. And then at the same time, back then, security was a big issue too. It's not really a big issue. They're more comfortable in the locker room. You wouldn't have, shit, what's his name? Got stabbed in the locker room. What's his name? Brody, Bruiser Brody.
Bruiser Brody.
Yeah, he got stabbed in the locker room. So like, you know, you had to keep a gun or a knife or something on you to protect you. crowd tried you after stuff, you know. So it was a completely different era, and I feel like he came to the realization of that as he was speaking, because I agree to a certain extent. I always found it funny when people came out already dripping with sweat and baby oil and water bottles and all that crap. Like, what are you doing all that for? Only person that really should be in the mirror making sure you look pretty is Prince Pretty. So, I mean, I feel where he's coming from, but also, like, it's evolution. It's just something that us old guys will never be able to fully support.
Or understand.
Or understand. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't.
J-Bo.
Look at my hands. My hands are old. Look at them crusty hands. Look at that. Ooh.
All them calluses. Hard worker. My God, man.
Hard worker. That is a hard working man right there.
This is hard working too, man. You see there. Yeah, look at that. Get other people to get it done for me.
Oh man, I don't know. I for the most part I don't agree, but as Harv was saying, yeah, I think he started to get to a realization that that's just the way it is. I mean, when I was reading on the interview, when I was listening to parts of it, what stood out to me was the fact that times are definitely different now. Like he said, you know, you come into the room and, you know, guys are trying to look pretty or whatever. That's not necessarily on the wrestlers directly. I mean, if you look at Vince McMahon and the type of, you know, wrestlers he push up to the top, it's the young, it's the muscular, it's the ones that look good. So, of course, wrestlers are probably going to try to focus on that more because they know that those type of wrestlers normally get that higher spot. And then, yeah, I mean, I can see the sense of, you know, times are, I guess you could say, softer or more relaxed. I like the term relaxed more relaxed than it was back in the day. And, you know, that's just the change of times. And, you know, Undertaker, he may not feel too comfortable with that. I'm pretty sure a lot of, you know, older school wrestlers feel the same way. But if you look at it 10, 20 years down the line, the wrestlers of this generation is not going to care for the next generation comes up. So, I mean, I think he's just speaking pretty much just from his experience. And the last thing I'll add on to that one, what was being put on TV was completely different. Like we just talked about all the wild stuff they got away with. Yeah. Well, back then, you know, they didn't really have too much of a age restriction. I mean, what was it, like 14 plus they said? But I mean, they can get away with that. Nowadays, it's PG and they try their best to stay within that range. So that already puts limitations on a lot of the guys from doing what they probably will want to do, but they pretty much can't. Difference is, it's just a difference of generations now. But I think Undertaker gets that. I think a lot of guys and girls who comes in who makes a difference, I think they understand that. But overall, I agree with the fact that he's understanding what he was trying to say. But just his statement alone, no, I don't really agree. It's a different time.
I mean, and then just to add on real quick before Sam say what he got to say, he can't act like folks like Shawn Michaels wasn't in the mirror when he walked in. Shawn Michaels and the Body Donnas and Brutus Beefcake and all them cats, you know, they was in the mirror, dog, with the little one ear ring dangling. They had the rock star like looks and all that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
rock, yeah, they was in the mirror, bro. You saw it somewhat. You can act like it's just completely foreign, but yeah,
right. I'm pretty sure Shawn Michaels had his own locker room if that was the case. You know, he wasn't being there with everybody.
You know, he did. That boy was cocky.
Okay. Best type of wrestlers. But with that, you know, like I said, a lot of people do not like change, you know, and it's hard to just adapt to that new feeling to what you're used to for a majority of your life, you know. And it's hard too for Taker, because I'm sure, like, because since he makes his like one or two appearances a year, he just pop back up in the locker room to see people over in the corner playing video games or doing this high five and shaking hands, you know, and everything. So, you know, I would think, you know, he probably is comfortable with that now, you know, as age, you know, at least people show him respect, you know, when he comes in the locker room. That's a given thing. But shoot, like, think about it. If we were wrestling, if I had a knife or a gun backstage, we get arrested. So we can't do that no more. So
that's very true.
Let a wrestler be caught with a Glock 19 or something in his hand. It's a wrap. You see him, he get released on that day on Twitter during the show. We like, what's going on? So yeah, like stuff like that just can't fly no more. And it is what it is. Like new times, new eras. Just got to give the program, adapt and adjust. And if you like it, you like it. You don't, you know?
Yeah. Period.
It's pretty, it don't matter. Really matter for Undertaker because he did his thing. He is what he is. He's the GOAT in his generation, all time, whatever. So it don't really matter. So he good no matter what. Now if it's just some random old wrestler that just had like a limited career, then like, okay, just need to sit back and just be quiet, you know. Simple as that. Yeah. All right. Cool. Y'all ain't, nope, we going on. Yep. Trying to do the timing well, so I didn't want to get sidetracked. So we're going to move on into the middle of the week with our wrestling, and that is with Impact Wrestling and AEW.
Yes.
They've been doing some collaborations lately, a lot with the AEW wrestlers coming to Impact. Mm-hmm. And it's actually been good because now since some of us are busy with our schedules now, I have to start watching on Tuesdays with Impact and doing live tweeting. No, I'm not going out there. But yeah, so. Okay. You know, I watched Impact recently and I'm not going to lie. When they add them AEW wrestlers on there, it was a great show. I'm like, dang, J-Bo, you. I'm sorry. I said I was gonna say your name, but I did. I'm like, you missed out. I'm like, this was a good show, and they're gonna continue to do this. And they started the whole thing with Kenny Omega, and the whole thing against with Rich Swann, and they got with a Private Party. You know, they had their tag team match recently against what's his name again? Oh, I forgot. But Private Party gonna go against Good Brothers later on in Impact.
So they are the contenders now.
Yeah. And so with that, you know, it's actually, you know, helped boost Impact because Impact, well, first off, Impact was never a bad show. Impact wrestlers are good talented wrestlers. It's just the way that it's, you know, put out in the public, advertised necessarily, is just not up to par how it is with like a AEW or a WWE, which is why I feel like they are underneath right now, quote unquote. But at the end of the day, it's still a good show. It still has great content, has great quality wrestlers on a night in, night out basis. And people should watch it. But now since they added AEW superstars to it, people are watching it more. I'm like, dang, Kenny Omega on Impact. Boom. Pay-per-view ratings went up on that show, Hard to Kill.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like, I got two things to tie into that. One, I'm not sure. Don't quote me. Has Impact wrestlers been on AEW shows on Wednesday?
Yeah, like Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah. So with that being said, one, do you think this will help boost their ratings even more to help them build past WWE? And two, do you think WWE should do a partnership with another promotion? Go.
Let me start off. Let me go ahead with this one. First and foremost, the number one organization that's benefiting from this is Impact. Let's just put that out there. Not to say that there aren't benefits that AEW can get from this, but overall, this is really for Impact. And so as far as them getting boosted more followers than the WWE, like collectively, I don't really think so. I don't think that's... Neither company is even combined is going to get to that right now. And then the other thing about WWE doing collaborative with other companies, they don't have to just because of who they are. They already got their own NXT promotions that they're building up. They've been talking about this for years, but they're trying to get more NXT brands separated. And, you know, they bought out like Progress and these other wrestling organizations. They don't have to. They don't. But what I will say with this whole collaboration between AEW and Impact Wrestling, they need to be careful. They need to be very careful. But like I said, Impact can benefit from this and they can also get hurt by this badly. If Kenny Omega and whoever comes in and just straight up run a ruckus and just, you know, take out the Impact Wrestling champion, whatever, now Impact gonna look like this fluky company that just so happened to work with AEW. Mm-hmm. Will they get a little bit more followers afterwards? Yeah, but it probably would do more damage in the long run. And that's the last thing Impact need is more damage, okay? So as long as it looks like a good even back and forth between Rich Swann and Kenny Omega or the tag team champs or anybody, as long as it's good back and forth, this is going to benefit them for a long run. But they can do it wrong.
Yeah, well said. Well said. I agree. To me, Impact's biggest issue over the years has been all this swapping of ownership, man. Like, they were a very solid company. And then they also tried to compete with WWE when they weren't ready to compete with WWE, thanks to Dixie Carter. But, yeah, they had Dixie Carter. Now they got somebody. I forget dude's name, the country singer who owned them for a while. And then they had the GFW.
Billy Corgan.
Billy Corgan, yeah. And then they had the GFW that they had joined with. And they had some deals with Mexico and Japan. And, you know, so they've been trying to build back up. I do think this is the best they've been in years. And I do think, like you said, that AEW is only going to boost them. It's up to how it's done, exactly what that boost will be, if it'll even be measurable. AEW is really not going to gain anything from this. They have to start making bigger moments if they want to ascend any further than where they are. Right now, they're just a solid wrestling show, but they don't have any huge moments to hang their hat on. Like, WWE is built on moments, you know? And that's how they market their company, is that it's built on moments. We remember things because we, you know, love the content from when we were kids all the way up till now. So that's how we remember a lot more than just these instances in time that they like to promote. AEW is more focused on in-ring, which makes sense, but you have to create moments. You just have to create big moments for people to grow attached to, you know, for people to have nostalgic memories over and all that. That's the only way that they're really going to go any further than they are now. They're not any competition. They're not close, like you said, even combined. The only way that it had to be a global federation. It would have to be New Japan. It'd have to be AAA, AEW, Ring of Honor. Everybody would have to come together to compete with WWE. That's not going to happen. It's not smart business-wise for anybody to do. Yeah. It's not smart for WWE, other than when they do, like, they grab a talent, pay the company to, like, rent out a talent like they did with, I forget the guy's name, that fought Sami Zayn a few years ago. But yeah, that's really all that you can expect from WWE, and it's really all that they should do, because they take everywhere on the planet anyway.
True.
They take whoever's gonna be anything, you know. They snatch them up. Like last week we were talking about Kota Ibushi, and how he's finally getting the shine that really I always knew he deserved, when he was in the original Cruiserweight tournament. The reason he didn't win, because he was slotted to win, is because he didn't sign with WWE. So, yeah, there's no reason for them to collab with anybody, because anybody they want, they're going to take, or they're not going to work with.
Yeah.
You know, flat out.
Yeah. WWE still remains number one.
Reigning champs. Reigning champs.
No matter how you put it through, that billion-dollar business is still always going to be number one, because it's expanding. It's taking over. You know, they got a thing now. They're trying to do it with NXT. And so, what, Saudi Arabia now? Or India, was it?
Yeah. They're doing some type of promotion with them currently. But, yeah, they're making bank.
Exactly. So, that's what it is.
I feel like even if they do establish a foothold in Saudi Arabia, it's not going to last long. Saudi Arabia is looking forward for some entertainment, sure, but is it going to last, is my thing. I don't think it's going to last as far as, like, weekly, or even if they just do monthly shows. I don't think that the intrigue is going to last that long over there.
Yeah, they're probably just safer with just periodic events like they have been doing.
Yeah, one-offs. They're going to end up bleeding them. But they got plenty to bleed.
Cool. Last but not least, last topic about probably one of the best pay-per-views of the year. It's that season. So everybody looks for when the New Year's comes up in the wrestling community. Royal Rumble. Arguably the best pay-per-view of the year. It's my favorite, I say. But
it's very anticipated. I ain't gonna say the best. You never know if it's gonna be good or not, but you know something.
It's just that because of the Royal Rumble match. It's just, right. The anticipation.
It's what's coming out of it that you're more excited for.
It's that along with Survivor Series, because that's around my birthday, and WrestleMania. So, yeah. That's why I like Survivor Series. But with Royal Rumble season upon us, it's gonna look different, you know, since there is no live fans, so that countdown gonna be different, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like now is like,
I didn't think about that. Oh man.
I know. Yeah, that countdown gonna be different. It's gonna hit different, you know. It's gonna.
Oh man.
And I think it's with the superstars, you know, they're going to participate in it. I'm not sure if we're going to have like any like surprises this year, but you never know, you know, you never know, you know, anything could happen. But looking at it, I'm honestly not sure who will win this year. It's really a toss up, because usually you have a strong idea like who's going to win. With like new surprise, new entrants, and storylines that are tying up together. But like right now, it's honestly up in the air, because like a lot of like the main superstar, well, not a lot, but like some of the main superstars right now are just like on a hiatus, or they're just not on TV right now. A lot of the legends, no, it's really past their prime, and they're not wrestling anymore. So you don't know if you're gonna get that one time. Half timer, you know, to come in and just get a quick title run real quick. So that's not going to happen. And with, you know, we talked about this last episode with, you know, storylines not really being built as strongly as they were in the past. So that plays a part too.
Mm-hmm.
So with this one, it's honestly a toss up. So this is going to be my question. And this could probably tie to like a lightning round thing too, because I ain't got no lightning round questions either. So with this, who are your top three choices to win the Royal Rumble? We're going to start with the men first. So, J-Bo, who are your top three choices that you think will win the Rumble?
This one's difficult, man, because there's really no real build-up as to who potentially could. So, mine are probably just going to be off the wall, so I'll just go with it. Two people I will say, one will be Keith Lee, mainly because of not last Survivor Series, but the Survivor Series beforehand, how him and Roman Reigns teased something after they were the last two surviving men. Ooh, and especially since how they've been building him now. So I can see that. Let's see. I don't want to say Shinsuke, mainly because I think he's just a temporary piece. You know what? I'm going to throw in Cesaro. I don't think they'll give it to him, but I much rather Cesaro than anybody else. And then I'll throw in a legend. I want to say The Rock.
The hell? Really?
I want to say The Rock and just surprise everybody, but whatever. I'll go with Edge. I'm going to go with Edge right now.
I was thinking Edge myself, honestly.
Yeah.
Edge?
Yeah. Because, you know, they said he's slated to return around WrestleMania this year. So it's about that time. So I wouldn't be surprised. Him coming back in, and I don't know, Randy Orton could go back for that belt if he feels like it. But I don't know. I just feel Randy like
it's pop up for a belt anytime. You know that.
Yeah.
Well, he's a great right, time, so he can do that. Yeah. All right, Big Hard, who is your top three?
I'm going to go with Seth Rollins returning. I'm going to go with Bray Wyatt. And I'm going to go with The Big Show. No, I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Braun Strowman. I'm going to just give him one.
Cool. All right, my top three. Let's see here. My first one is Samoa Joe. I feel like he's due for it. I don't know why he's because he's called a commentator, so he probably won't take him off, but like he's due for return. So he like, I feel like that'll be like, you know, the most surprising because it's less anticipated because he ain't stepping in the ring, or they mentioned teasing about getting the ring for a while. So I feel like it may be him. I also agree with the Seth Rollins thing as well, as somebody to, you know, make a return and get the title. Just somebody like a main eventer. I don't know if it's this season to have like an underdog opponent to win right now just yet. You know?
Nobody believable.
Yeah, right? That's what
as an underdog. That's why I just chose safe. Like, there's no rhyme or reason for anybody that I chose.
Right.
Yeah. Because I don't other than what J-Bo has some good ones. Like he's a right. thinking man. He thought up some quick storylines real quick that actually make sense.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really don't. The playing field is thin, man.
Yeah, I know that's why it's real hard. Jesus. Like saying, I would say Braun because he's due to win a Royal Rumble because he hasn't won one yet. I don't count the greatest Rumble that they had.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't count that. But like he's due for one, but I don't think he's gonna win this year because he had the title last WrestleMania, so I don't think they're gonna give it to him now. But I feel like since a face won the Rumble last year, it might be a heel's turn to win. So, unfortunately,
John Cena.
I wish, but I'm not gonna say that. I'm gonna say that for a year or two. But unfortunately, I'm gonna have to agree with Hard for the first time in my life and say Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. Wow, this is like, a monumental moment on KTR, everyone.
I know, for a bad guy. It was between him and Brock Lesnar, but I don't think Brock Lesnar's come back yet. So I'm saying
he gave Oscar accolades a couple episodes ago. He gave Bray Wyatt a little bit of love. Wow.
Converting them, boy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I feel like it may be Bray Wyatt, but I'm not sure because he still got that quote-unquote storyline with him right now, so that may not happen. But if I was to pick a bad guy right now, maybe him, you know, or I don't know, but yeah. So it's up in the air. All right, women's top three women.
Bianca Belair, and Bianca Belair.
Okay. That's all I had. That's all I had was Bianca Belair. Yep.
Belair. It's perfect, and I spoke on this when she got drafted to SmackDown that this is a perfect opportunity for her and Sasha Banks to go at it at WrestleMania. She's already feuding with Bayley right now, which was the previous champion, and it's right up until the Royal Rumble. They're lining it up right, knowing that WWE they can clearly trip over themselves and screw the whole thing up. But I see the stars aligning, so Bianca in all three categories.
She's the breakout female of the year, man. She's the only one that really should win it. I can't think nobody else that really should win it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I hope y'all are prepared to be disappointed at the Royal Rumble because as much as I want Bianca to win, it's not going to happen.
Who do you think?
It's not. Because like I said, the storyline with Bayley right now, that's the only reason why I say she's not going to win, because she's in that current storyline right now, and it's too close to Royal Rumble season. You know, I feel like it's going to be a thing where, you know, Bayley and
spills it up for her.
Exactly, and loses. But she's still going to find a way to make her way to WrestleMania and fight for that title. But she's not going to win the Rumble because of her storyline. So nobody from SmackDown is going to win this Raw Rumble because they're saving that. So it's going to be somebody from Raw. And this is going to make Harv mad, but Charlotte Flair.
No.
It's going to be Charlotte. And y'all
it's not going to be Charlotte. It's not.
You don't want it to happen, but it's going to happen. It's going to be Charlotte. It's going
to be Charlotte.
Somebody from Raw is going to win the Royal Rumble. And if my picks is either between Shayna Baszler or Charlotte Flair, it's going to be Charlotte. Y'all gonna have to live with that and deal with it. I know y'all hate it, but she's the queen. They're the only person that they have trust in right now is going to be her because they don't know their storyline right now for Raw is gonna be lost. Asuka has not defended her title in who knows how long. And they're going to have her keep that title until WrestleMania because they don't know how they're going to put her in another storyline for the next pay-per-view, which is next month, and for the following. So they're just.
I'd rather it be Lana. I'd rather see Lana.
They're going to have this long-time feud since they're tag team titles, they're tag team champions. They're going to lose their title somehow, some way, to build this feud even more. And that's how it's going to go. Charlotte Flair is going to win the 2020 Women's Royal Rumble, and we have to deal with it. I'm sorry,
Sam. You're making sense because they are tag team champions right now. I will give you that, and that's how WWE does their storylines, where they have them as tag team champions, make them look good, even though they're random tag team, and then they start having dissension, and then one of them turns on each other. We don't know which one. Heck, it could be Asuka. You know, it might be a thing for a heel turn.
You don't
know. And it's like it could be. Anything. And yes, you're making sense. It's just throw the whole Royal Rumble away if you have.
Ooh, I just thought about something good. I'm sorry for interrupting, but
go ahead.
Alexa Bliss and Bray Wyatt.
Okay, see that makes better sense. Okay,
that's another option. It's gonna be somebody from Raw winning this Royal Rumble.
I'd rather it be Alexa Bliss and Charlotte.
That's the men, true. I don't know. Like I said, my three picks is gonna be Shayna Baszler, Charlotte, or Alexa Bliss. It's gonna be one of three.
I would agree with it.
So my top two is definitely Alexa Bliss or Charlotte. It's gonna be one or the other. They're gonna figure out a way to do that. It's gonna happen. But Alexa. Bianca is not winning. I'm sorry. Next year she will.
It's gonna be Bianca. Or Lana or the table, because I think the table.
You saw the table.
The table will be entered in the match. Who's gonna toss the table over the top? Who tossing the table? Yeah, the table got unfinished business. Who tossing the table over the top? Nobody.
Yeah.
No. Alexa Bliss is the only one that's sensible from what you said.
That makes sense too. Yeah, Alexa Bliss makes sense.
I'll get that one.
Yeah, so that's how it's gonna go. That's how the cookie crumbles, and we're gonna be disappointed because Bianca's not winning this year, unfortunately.
I will only be disappointed if Charlotte
wins.
I am going to laugh and be all in your ear if Charlotte wins. The queen. Was she 13-time champion?
I don't know.
It's double digit now because she's the best. She's the best. She's the GOAT now. Yes, it's okay. Live it up, Harv. Accept it. Deal with it. You can't do nothing about it.
trying really hard right now, Sam.
I see the pain in your face.
trying really hard right now, man.
That is episode 18 of Nolan Rose Podcast. Be sure to follow us on all social media platforms, KTR_podcast, Twitter, Instagram, Nolan Rose Podcast, Facebook, YouTube, Nolan Rose Podcast, all podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Podbean. We are on everything. This is episode 18, Nolan Rose Podcast, KTR, and we are out.
What should they do, Big Harv?
As long as you're not a Charlotte fan, you should pump those numbers.
Yeah, numbers, letters, all symbols of man-made devices that could cripple us all. Improve we can't cave, panicking when storm hits and knocks out the power grid. Are you fully prepared to live off the grid? How you think?